Juno's route to Jupiter was carefully planned out from the outset, and it involves a series of manoeuvres, including a gravitational assist from Earth, that will happen in October 2013. But as we push further out into the universe, we're going to need to rely on spacecraft that can find their own way. But how do you navigate in open space? Professor Werner Becker from the Max Planck Institute for Extraterrestrial Physics in Munich thinks we may have to rely on some of the more strange astronomical objects.
Pulsars are highly magnetized and fastly spinning neutron stars. And neutron stars are, in fact, the most compact objects which we can observe directly in the universe. Neutron stars are the compact remnants of massive stars when they end their life. The Sun, for example, will end in a white dwarf, and if you have stars maybe 30 times or higher in mass than the Sun, these stars are expected to end their life in a big supernova explosion which lefts over a neutron star, which is a compact object, a giant atomic nucleus having a size of about 10 kilometers in radius, and a density which exceeds actually the density of nuclear material which we know from atomic cores.
Pulsars, for us down here on Earth, are recognisable from a regular flash of radiation, be it radio or X-ray or whatever. How can we take advantage of the fact that we do have this regularity?
First of all, there are quite a diversity of pulsars out there in the universe. They are called accretion-powered pulsars. They produce the light by material falling onto neutron star, and then which produces X-rays and optical light. There are magnetars, neutron stars, which have really huge, extremely magnetic fields, and both of them exhibit bursting light flashes. And you see their rotation, this periodicity just in this burst, so which is still unregular because these sources are bursting just time by time, not really predictable when they do this. So there is just one group of pulsars which can be used for navigating a spaceship in the universe, and these are the so-called rotation-driven pulsars. So these pulsars have a periodicity which can be measured with an accuracy comparable with atomic clocks. And this is a fact, actually, which makes them preferable for using these sources for navigation.
So how do we actually do that? We have these pulsars that we know that we can trust. How do you then use those as a means to navigate through deep space?
Well, this goes through the timing of these sources. It's just a measurement and a comparison of pulse arrival times. It's similar to the GPS. And this, in an extent, is true and is not true, because in the GPS satellites, the signal which receivers are able to receive and to record has information in the signals itself. And this is not the case for the neutron stars, for the pulsars. For the pulsar signals, they are just emitting light pulses. When the beam they radiate crosses your instrument, your observing instrument, you see a flash, a peak in the intensity in your instrument. And what you are going to do for navigation is just comparing the arrival time of these peaks. And this helps you because you know where the arrival of the peak should be. And then you can compare the phase or the time where the peak arrives, and you compare it with the time it should arrive. And this is a difference. And this runtime difference, so to speak, gives you, if you multiply it with the period of the pulsar, with the velocity of light, gives you the distance difference from where you assume that you are in the universe. And this helps you, and then you correct your position, you continue with the measurement, and you get closer in measuring the pulse where it should be, where you expect it to arrive, and then you have the information that you are at the position you assume you are.
So does this rely on having, let's say we've put this onto a rocket in the future, we've put the technology on there. Does this rely on carrying a very large library of these pulsars and where we think they are?
Well, it's not the software. It's not the ephemeris and not knowing the facts of the pulsars. This probably can be compressed in a file of less than a megabyte. Up to recently, this technology would have been completely unfeasible because of the weight of the navigation device. So we're using X-rays, and the X-ray mirrors itself of previous X-ray satellites and observatory had a weight of few tons. So it would be completely invisible to have an instrument sensitive enough to record the pulsar signals and light enough to use it as a navigation device. I mean, it doesn't make sense if you have a spacecraft which have a weight of 1 ton by itself to give it a navigation device which is 4 or 5 times as heavy.
So what's changed in the technology now in order to enable us to use pulsars as a positioning system?
Yes, this pulsar-based navigation became possible with the development of lightweighted X-ray mirrors. And these lightweighted X-ray mirrors are developed anyway for the next generation of X-ray satellites, of X-ray observatories. The ones which are in orbit now still have mirrors which are quite heavy. For example, 1 square meter of collecting power for XMM Newton, the ESA satellite observatory, which is in space now, has a weight of 2,300 kilograms. And the weight of a comparable new device, if you use, for example, micropore glass optics, is 25 kilograms. So it's a huge difference, but with the old mirror technology, this would have been completely invisible, really.
So how do current missions know where they are in space?
Usually those which are near to Earth, some of them use GPS, but the others are all controlled from ground with radio antennas and radio signals. This is called Delta DOR, and DOR stands for Doppler One-Way Ranging. So there is a radio signal sent to the satellite, and the satellite answers, sending a radio signal back to the antennas. From the runtime difference, you multiply this with the velocity of light, you get the distance to the satellite. And from the Doppler shifting, its small frequency variation in the signal, you get the velocity of this satellite, but just in the radial direction, not the overall path in the sky. You get this only if you track these satellites for many days, and then you notice small differences in the angle of your antenna you need to follow the signal from the satellite. And this then overall gives you the position and the track of the satellite in the sky. 2 points here to mention is that this method depends on the distance from Earth. The accuracy depends on the distance from Earth. It's roughly 4 kilometers accuracy on the distance from the Earth to the Sun. But Voyager 1, for example, now is at 115 astronomical units, and you have quite a large uncertainty at this distance already. The other point, which is very important, and even the most important one, to my opinion, is that with the pulsar-based navigation device, you have the ability to have an autonomous navigation system. It works independent from what is going on Earth, and everywhere in the solar system and beyond with the same accuracy of few kilometers, or few miles, actually. This is what really makes it great.
Werner Becker from the Max Planck Institute in Munich.